Klein J. versus Wisconsin Petroleum Association. Mr. Conley.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This case concerns the validity of the motor vehicle fuel provisions of the Wisconsin Unfair Sales Act, a law which smaller, independent motor vehicle retailers have relied upon for nearly seven decades as a protection against predatory pricing, loss leading, and other disruptive practices in their industry in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association, the executive director and members of the board of which are present today.
How many other states have similar statutes, do you know?
Have minimum markup laws? Mm-hmm. I don't know the precise number, Your Honor, but I would guess it's probably less than half, but at least half, somewhere in that neighborhood, roughly half. They vary, obviously, by terms, but they're certainly common. What is sought today directly is to vindicate the right of the association.
Well, let me ask you, if you're permitted to intervene, do you want to present evidence, or are you just wishing to argue that the state statute isn't preempted?
Fundamentally, Your Honor?
No, not fundamentally. Just answer directly.
Well, I think there's two parts to the answer, Your Honor.
No,
Yes, we want to present evidence. Your Honor, yes, we want to appeal.
No. Do you want to present evidence?
Well, in the motion to reconsider.
Well, you answer my question. Do you want to present evidence if you are permitted to intervene? Or do you simply want to argue that as a matter of law, there's no preemption?
Both, Your Honor.
What kind of evidence would you be presenting?
The only additional evidence is if this court determined it appropriate would be to remand in the motion to reconsider. And in the motion to reconsider to emphasize to Judge Randa a presumption that he made on the record below was not accurate.
You're not answering my question.
What evidence
do you wish to present in the district court if you're permitted to intervene? Or do you simply want to argue the merits of your position?
What I'm trying to get at, Your Honor, and I'll try, the evidence that has been submitted below in a motion to reconsider, which was not
I'm
taken
asking a really simple question. Do you wish to present evidence, more evidence, new evidence, your own evidence, some evidence in the district court, or do you merely wish to argue that this statute is not preempted?
The additional evidence that we submitted below.
Not that you submitted. Is there evidence you wish to submit? Do you wish a further evidentiary hearing?
I don't think there's a further evidentiary hearing required, Your Honor. But to answer your question directly, ideally the court would consider the evidence that was advanced that showed an assumption that the district court made about the actual price differential that results from the minimum markup is not accurate. In other words, as the price of the rack price or the spot market price rises, it does not rise, the retail price does not rise incrementally at 9.18%. Indeed, the market behaves much differently. Well, that's a fair question. For the district court, that was fundamental to its decision.
District court, for your argument, your position, what difference does it make? Look, this is an important question. Do we send this case, if you have a good appeal, do we send this case back to the district court just for the district court to take another look?
Right. I agree.
So what's the point of that? Why don't
Your Honor, if this court, and I apologize for interrupting, if this court is not going to remand with directions consistent with its entry of a stay as to the likelihood of the need to reconsider and reverse, it is pointless to remand, and we should proceed, as the court suggests, with the question of preemption here, although there are other issues that are before the court on the appeal, including the fact that there's nothing in the record that shows any action, any private action, conspiratorial action. So there's really at least three questions on the merits here. One is, was there any evidence advanced by Flying J that there was really private activity, conspiratorial activity? We submit there wasn't. And the state argued below that there wasn't. The second is, as the court suggests, that this is not a law which is preempted by the Sherman Act. In fact, the strong presumption is against preemption. And then the related issue is that there's Parker immunity that's available. And unless this court were to remand with directions to the district court.
But you haven't briefed those issues.
The only place they've been briefed to date, Your Honor, is in the motion for stay. Both sides briefed the merits there, and this court entered a stay, obviously not deciding the merits.
But why didn't you brief the merits? I don't understand.
We would have, Your Honor, except this court's order only granted the initial motion to intervene or to take the appeal and intervention. We filed a contingent appeal on the merits. We were not directed to brief that issue. And it seemed presumptuous, frankly. In hindsight, I wish we probably had just gone ahead and done that, but we did substantially brief the merits to this court already in the motion to reconsider.
What about the timeliness issue?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The timeliness issue.
Your Honor, the fundamental issue there, I think, is resolved already by this court in Reich. Judge Bauer's decision, which stated that if the party who had advanced the lawsuit has decided not to proceed, then it's appropriate, even post-judgment, for a party with direct substantial interest to be allowed to intervene. And that's exactly what the association did here. They intervened as soon as it became clear that the state would not.
Well, wait a minute. You knew you were participating in this almost from the beginning.
The record below, Your Honor, and I understand what you're referring to, is that there were submissions by the association's regular outside counsel to the Attorney General and to the Department of Agriculture, suggesting arguments. That's all that occurred. We did not participate. The state determined all arguments. There were no discussions. There's an affidavit on file that the association was not involved in the briefing of the issues. In any event, Your Honor, this court made clear in Reich that the problem is that until the state failed to discharge its obligation, the Attorney General and the Department of Agriculture, discharge its obligation to actively litigate and defend the Act, the Unfair Sales Act, which they did through summary judgment. There was no basis. In fact, in Reich they said that a private association would probably be laughed out of court. There was no basis for us to proceed. The only other argument that's being made by Flying J is, well, there's a later decision, which Judge Posner offered, and I guess he's in the best position to tell us what he meant, that suggests that for those parties who want to intervene early on but don't have immediate standing, they can file a contingent motion to intervene subject to some evidence of the current defendants not proceeding actively to defend the case. But that wasn't present here. It wasn't present at all. There was no basis to challenge the vigorous defense by the Attorney General and Department of Agriculture until they announced that they were not going to proceed to move to reconsider or to appeal. And at that point, we had a basis to intervene and proceeded to do so.
Judge Connolly, while we're on the question of the right decision, it does seem to require that for intervention as of right, that you need to be able to show that your client has a legally cognizable interest. That really seemed to be the basis for distinguishing the Meridian case. What is the legally cognizable interest that your client has?
There's twofold, Your Honor. First, the statute itself expressly protects small independent retailers in the pricing structure. So much so that the state legislature has gone back and given those retailers the ability to bring their own lawsuit, albeit just with respect to a single actor. They can't do what the state does here, which is enforce the law completely. But there's no question that the direct beneficiary of this statute is intended to be the members of the association that we represent today. The ultimate beneficiary in the theory of the state of Wisconsin, as passed by the legislature under this act, is that this law keeps more robust competition, or at least diverse competition, and that's a decision that the state of Wisconsin made. Whether or not one agrees with that on an economic basis, you could have the same argument about the Robinson-Patman Act.
But, you
but it's
could,
still the
you,
law of the
but
land.
But you could sue a company that that disregarded the statute, right? You're not enjoined.
Well, the association can't sue, Your Honor. We wouldn't have standing.
Members of the association. Your standing is derivative from your members. So
agreed.
A member who was harmed by the fact that firms were disregarding the act on the authority of the district court's decision could bring their own suit.
With the caveat, Your Honor, that there is no way for this law to be effectively enforced by individual lawsuits in the state system. The only way that that occurs in a practical matter, and this is heavily recorded by the state below, is the ongoing supervision and enforcement by the Department of Agriculture.
You can't force the Wisconsin to do it. But look, suppose that one of your members was hurt by, you know, low-cost pricing right. in disregard of the Unfair Sales Act, and a member sued, lost or won the district court, came up to us, suppose we held that the Unfair Sales Act was valid. Wouldn't that get you just as far as you could get by intervening in this case?
Only if you ignore the year delay, the tremendous disruption that's already occurred in the market, the fact that the Department of Agriculture, who is principally charged with enforcement, this private right of action is a limited right by one individual against the other. An individual company would have to start over. In the meantime, this court would have to ignore the reality, which is that the Department of Agriculture, unless the decision by Judge Randa below is reversed by this court, that the Department of Agriculture has said they will not enforce the statute, at least with respect to the minimum markup law that the judge found.
I see. So the department has just dropped out. No, it doesn't. It hasn't filed anything with us.
They have exactly, Your Honor. For purposes of the motion, they're still a party below. They haven't withdrawn, but they said that unless the decision by the district court is reversed, they're not going to enforce the minimum markup provisions of the Unfair Sales Act. And that's a devastating change for the members of this association, and frankly for the marketplace, because without that ongoing supervision, which includes daily inspection and reporting and filings which are set forth in the statute by individual members when they depart from the 9.18% markup from the spot price, which are filed as meeting competition, the whole system of regulation is gone. And to say that, well, the remedy is for a single individual to start over in state court, or in one case, there is an action now in the state appellate system, Bhandari, in fairness to the court, is to say that we have to live with this disruption, which is exactly what this court stayed from occurring when it stayed the injunction that had been entered by the Eastern District.
Mr. Connolly, you were going to tell us at one point, and
didn't
have a chance to, what kind of a remand you thought, instructional remand, we ought to give in this case. Could you please elaborate on that just for a moment?
Yes, Your Honor. The only remand I think that would be effective would be to remand for reconsideration with instructions as to where the court needs to revisit its approach, whether it's preemption or whether it's the question of Parker immunity, the related question of Parker immunity. I think without those directions, Judge Randa has made clear he's not going to change his mind. He said in his decision on denying the motion to intervention that he found this court's decision in Fuchs without any merit or without force for this case. So he's essentially rejected the notion of Parker immunity applying. And absent that, then we come back to Judge Posner's original point, which is this is really a preemption question that we would ask the court to take up on an expedited basis here, subject to the contingent appeal that was filed on the merits.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Connolly. Mr. Mackey?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. In the summer of 2008, The district court below had cross motions for summary judgment in front of it. And this was important because the parties below relied on the same set of facts, essentially. The record was set. Everybody who observed, everybody who participated, knew that based on this record, which was largely undisputed, there would be a final decision. Also important at that time, the WPMCA had been, as you've already noted, been providing information, memoranda, studies, other documents to the state of Wisconsin, encouraging it to make certain arguments. The key is the WPMCA knew in the summer of 2008 that the state was only making some of those arguments. Other arguments, including, importantly, the one that Your Honor touched on earlier, was not being made, and that was the WPMCA's view of how the state of Wisconsin should look at the economic data.
It did not know, however, that the state attorney general was going to throw in the towel.
No, I did not. And if by that Your Honor means not appeal,
right.
that was not announced until March 10th. However, I believe in fairness, the case law says that you have a duty to intervene and make your interest.
Why is this case any different from a situation where the representative plaintiff in a class action falls out for one reason, maybe settles or his case becomes otherwise moot, and then another class member is appointed to keep the case alive?
I think in that situation, the class member's interests are by definition identical, or there's a commonality of interest there. That commonality of interest doesn't exist.
I understand. The basic argument is that Parker versus Brown permits this Unfair Sales Act to be enforced. It's just a simple issue of law. I don't know why anyone is talking about evidence, but in any event, members of the association obviously have an interest in the validity of the law, and since the state has exited, they want to stand in its place. I don't see what the problem is.
The issue was, first of all, as two district courts have decided, it was a hybrid statute, which means it's preempted unless the state can show that it has been actively supervising the statute. And the state was in the best position to know what
it
had done.
Maybe they can't show it. Maybe they don't have the evidence. But why can't we decide the issue on... your opponent does not want to present more evidence. He's content with the record. He thinks the district judge misinterpreted the evidence, but that's a legal argument. So, I agree. If they had been pressing factual issues all along that the state refused to go along with, that would be a different case. But if all they want is a ruling on the applicability of Parker versus Brown, what's the problem?
The issue here, Your Honor, is the discretion of the district court.
See what that has to do with it, right? I mean, all they want is a chance to take the place of the state to make a legal argument. Why would you...
Your Honor,
I agree. Sending it back to the district court for reconsideration, I don't see the point of that. But if they just want to file, or maybe it's already filed in connection with the stay motions, they just want to make the legal argument, there's no inconvenience to anybody.
It has not been filed, first of all. Second of all, people could disagree. We don't dispute that. But here we have, we could disagree about whether or not they should intervene. But the question is whether Judge Randa, in administering the orderly process...
Look, if there is no inconvenience to anybody, all they want is to have this legal issue resolved. Maybe they want to file a new brief, although apparently he's content to rest on the brief in connection with the stay. Then I don't see what inconvenience to anybody could justify refusing intervention.
The inconvenience was to the court and the parties. It was to the court.
Now, looking forward, if we are just being asked to decide, which I think is what he wants, if we're just being asked to decide whether the applicability of Parker versus Brown, who is going to be inconvenienced by that? It's not any burden to the district court that we are that we decide an issue of law.
Again, Your Honor, I understand the point. The point I would like to make, though, is there is a policy consideration here that, that we need to allow the district courts to determine what is timely and appropriate.
No. If they were saying we want to intervene, we want to go back to the district court, we aren't going to have a huge trial, okay? Yes, of course, there would be a compelling argument that it's too late for that. And maybe they would like to do that in some sense, but they seem willing simply to settle for having an appellate determination of an issue of law. And I don't see how that has anything to do with the district judge's legitimate interest in, avoiding redundant, burdensome proceedings in a district.
And let me answer it this way, and I want to be direct. They sat on the same arguments that they now want to make. They sat on them for 7 months.
Your issue of law is an issue that is resolved at the appellate level. The district judge obviously offers a view, and we take it seriously, but it has to be resolved at, de novo review of issue. And therefore, I don't see what difference it makes that that they want to intervene at this level just to make a legal argument, if that's all they want to make, or that if that's all we would permit them to make.
Your Honor, I would respond this way. The Hartwood case in 2003 was a case where there was a settlement agreement between the parties. 2 weeks later, a group tried to intervene, and the district court said, makes sense, they're just intervening, it's 2 weeks, what's the harm? This court reversed that decision and said, no, the time to consider what is timely and what is not does not hinge on when they actually knew with certainty that they were throwing in the towel. The court reversed and sent it back to the district court and said, you need to determine, in your discretion, as a matter of fact, when the intervener might have known that it would be affected, when it could have intervened.
That makes sense if the delay in intervention is protracting district court proceedings. What difference, what sense does it make when we have the appeal here? What's going to be the delay if we address the merits of the appeal? I don't understand.
On a purely sterile...
Is through with it? What does he care about?
Sure. Two things. On a purely sterile consideration, you could say, well, if the state had stayed in the case, how would we be any different? Well, we would be different because, number one, the issues would have been vetted below, and the district court wouldn't have wasted its time, and this court would have had the benefit of the district court's thinking. Number two, it's clear, despite what they say today, that they are trying to inject new evidence and new arguments.
Now, all we have to do is say no new evidence.
I understand.
Right?
True.
And there's no injection of new evidence.
And there's no new evidence at this point, yet we are already criticized in footnote 5 of their brief for not responding to their new evidence.
Who cares about criticism in footnote 5 of his brief?
The point is, Your Honor, as a matter of precedent, if this court were to reverse the district court on timeliness...
We're not reversing the district court. All the question is, should he be permitted, should they be, the association be permitted to intervene at this level to get a judicial determination?
And if on this set of facts the court were to disagree and essentially rule that the district court abused its discretion in determining timeliness, it would set poor precedent.
At the district court level, maybe, they were pushing to put in evidence or something of that sort. At this level, there's no question of evidence. All they want is a ruling.
And I'm taking that at face value, that all they want to come in...
Pointless. All it means is there's going to be other litigation. It's going to come back to us in years. What are we gaining by that?
What we're gaining is a precedent that tells litigants in the future that if you have an interest and you know that interest exists, that you are on notice that you either need to file a conditional...
No, that doesn't make any sense either, because what that means is whenever the state or whenever anybody brings a suit, anybody else who has a potential interest will better intervene, because if the litigant with which it's aligned ducks out for some reason, settles or what have you, they'll be stuck without their champion. So you'll have promiscuous requests for intervention.
Well, I think you'll have two things. One, you'll have cautious interveners who recognize that there's an interest in the court in having the parties and issues before it. I think that's important.
So what? Should every member of this association intervene?
No, I think that's...
Well, why not?
The association standing in their shoes is...
Well, but, the association thought the state was standing in its shoes, and the state abandoned them. Now, what if the association abandoned some of its members who were interested in this law, and the association thought, no, we don't want to fight on this front. It's not that important. We have better things to worry about. So on your theory, the cautious, you know, beneficiary of a statute had better intervene at the outset.
I think on these facts, to respond to your question, on these facts, the court can reconcile and synthesize Reich, Solid Waste, and Hartwood, which say that if you know...
I don't deal with this issue. This is not an issue about intervening in the district court to present evidence and bollocks up the proceeding. It's about intervening at this level to see what, to get a ruling of law. Anyway, thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Conley. I mean, Mr. Mackey and Mr. Conley, and we'll move on to our next case, Aguirre versus Turner Construction. Mr.